Hello there, traveler. As you take a moment to come out of the silence, to escape the void, coming back and finding that path, take a moment of noticing your surroundings. Is it warm or cold? Light or dark? Where are you emerging to? Where are you emerging from? At least for now. I think I can take the bold assessment in saying that you are emerging to a time and place, wherever that might be, shared by me and at least one other. I think the whole point of this descent and the whole point of this exploit and this specific creative endeavor is to ultimately create a space that is to our best intention outside of the limitations of the present moment, of being stuck right here, right now. That is a time that wherever you might be listening to this at, whoever you might be listening to this, in whatever era, whatever universe, whatever species, whatever language, you can take a moment to come back. Take a moment to listen. Take a moment to breathe. Take a moment just to experience what we are here right now. It's funny how we can be so far away yet so close at the same time and at different times. Today we're going to go back into our pursuit of study, trying to take a moment to understand and take the next chapter in this book. But before we dive into that, I do believe that I am joined by someone, and I would be remiss if I was keeping them all for myself and didn't share them with a traveler.
What a crazy concept.
Very much. You are a delight. Who are you, though?
Hello, I'm Sam.
You are Sam.
You are also a delight.
Well, thank you very much. I do my best to be. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Very tired. Mm-hmm. Very, very tired, but good. I'm excited to make my new house a home. I'm excited to see where this new adventure is going to be taking us. Excited to close a few chapters. I'm looking forward to what the future holds right now, and that feels really nice. How are you?
Well, you've done a lot of work to be in this spot, so I'm happy that you have those things to look forward to. And it is always, I think, exciting in its own right to build a hearth. Mm-hmm. And I hope your home is filled with warmth. I'm good. A lot of, you know, that exhaustion of just that continued cycle that we're in, right? Mm-hmm. Some of those hard things that I've talked about in the recent past, you know, those have gotten a little bit easier. We're starting to continue to just take it one step at a time and deal with those incremental steps. I have a lot of gratitude right now for this time and place, as you walked in on earlier. Mm-hmm. True. I think that ultimately right now I'm a weird combination of, like you said, very tired, but like at the same time very record scratchingly rejuvenated and excited, and feel like I'm like very much in this act of becoming into this new foundation that I want. And I can see a lot of those wheels turning. Mm-hmm. That you kind of always see off in the distance of life. Mm-hmm. I see how they are turning, and I'm like, oh, I like how that looks. I'm okay with that. And it's taken a lot of effort to finally turn those wheels into places where I'm like, oh, that's one I don't have to worry about. That's a mental weight I don't have to, like, I can let go of. I think, again, as I continue to get older, more I understand peace be with you, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I very much actively wish that upon all of you travelers.
Likewise. And upon yourself.
Thank you. I do appreciate that, too. Mm. I think that we're going to go ahead as we finish up Section 7 here, though. We'll just go ahead and dive in, if you would like to.
Almost as if we're in a place of confession in the presence of the view that life is giving us and providing for us.
Well, we're going to go ahead and see what we might be perceiving here as we dive into this next reading.
We're going to find out. And this next reading is quite literally called Confession in the Presence of the View. What view is it? Let's find out. Excuse me. How mistaken is the view which duality sees subject and object when the expanse of reality is free from conceptual elaboration? How deluded have we been by our grasping at characteristics? We confess this transgression within the expanse of supreme bliss, which is free from conceptual elaboration. How debilitating is the view which duality sees good and evil when Samantabhadra, the ever-perfect, is beyond good and evil? How pitiful are we, clinging to purity and impurity? We confess this transgression within the expanse, which is free from the duality of good and evil. How mistaken is the view which sees Buddhas as great and sentient beings as small, when in the state of sameness there is neither great nor small? How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy of great and small. We confess this transgression within the expanse of supreme bliss, which is sameness. How debilitating is the view which duality sees this life and the next, when the mind of enlightenment is free from birth or death? How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy of birth and death. We confess this transgression within the deathless, immutable expanse. How mistaken is the view which duality sees form and material substance, when the supreme seminal point is free from spatial dimensions? How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy of corners and angles. We confess this transgression which within the supreme seminal point, which is all-embracing in its symmetry. How mistaken is the view which duality sees beginning and end, when the essential nature of the three times is unchanging? How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy of transitional process. We confess this transgression within the expanse of the three times, which is unchanging. How debilitating is the view which duality sees cause and effect, when the naturally present pristine cognition arises effortlessly? How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy of effort and attainment. We confess this transgression within the naturally present expanse which arises without effort. How pitiful is the view which duality sees eternalism and nihilism, when the pristine cognition of intrinsic awareness is free from eternalism and nihilism. How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy of existence and non-existence. We confess this transgression within the expanse of pristine cognition, which is beyond eternalism and nihilism. How debilitating is the view which oscillates between biased positions, when the pure expanse of reality is free from the middle and extremes? How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy of middle and extremes. We confess this transgression within the pure expanse of reality, which is free from a middle of extremes. How debilitating is the view which duality sees outside and inside, when the celestial palace is free from the inner and outer dimensions? How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy of spaciousness and confinement. We confess this transgression within the expanse of the celestial palace, which is free from the duality of spaciousness and confinement, or of inner and outer dimensions. How pitiful is the view which duality sees higher and lower approaches, when the sexual center of the female consort is free from the distinction between higher and lower energy centers. How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy between higher and lower energy centers. We confess this transgression within the expanse of the consort's secret place, which is free from the distinction between higher and lower. How debilitating is the view which duality sees objects and mind, when the Buddha body of reality is free from individuated distinctions? How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy between the environment and its inhabitants. We confess this transgression within the expanse of the Buddha body of reality, which is unchanging. How debilitating is the view which discriminates between individual thoughts, when the dynamic of the male consort acts unconstrictedly? How deluded we have been in clinging mistakenly to nominalism. We confess this transgression within the expanse of the awareness holders, who are free from conceptual thoughts. Since pristine cognition, which is intrinsic awareness, has not arisen within us, How pitiful is the mind obscured by ignorance, which grasps immaterial phenomena as materially substantive. We confess this transgression within the expanse of natural, pristine cognition. Since we have failed to understand the nature of uncreated truth, how tormented is the intellect of a bewildered being, which apprehends the uncreated truth in terms of I and mine. We confess this transgression within the expanse of supreme bliss, which is uncreated. Since we have failed to mentally elucidate the nature of reality, we have not understood that phenomenal appearances are illusory, and thereby our minds have become attached to material wealth. We confess this transgression within the uncreated reality, which is free from attachment. Since we have failed to realize that cyclic existence is free from inherent existence, we have grasped at the self-existence of things and their characteristics, and thereby sought happiness through non-virtuous behavior. How deluded we have been in clinging to the dichotomy between hope and doubt. We confess this transgression within the expanse of enlightenment, which is untainted. Since we have failed to understand the truth of sameness with true equanimity, we have mistakenly clung to the permanence of relatives and friends. How totally mistaken is the mind of ignorant people, such as ourselves. We confess this transgression within the expanse of supreme bliss, which is sameness. Since we have failed to encounter the true meaning of reality, we have forsaken truth and persevered in non-virtuous acts. We have forsaken the transmitted precepts of the teacher and have been deceived by the vagaries of mundane human doctrines. We confess this transgression within the expanse of supreme bliss, which is reality. Since we have failed to experience the natural liberation of pristine cognition, which is intrinsic awareness, we have forsaken the modality of intrinsic awareness and persevered in distracted acts. Take pity on these sentient beings who are devoid of such truthful experience. We confess this transgression within the expanse which is free from distraction. To the assembled deities of pristine cognition, to the protectors who uphold the commitments, and to those yogins who have fulfilled their commitments in accordance with the textual elucidation, we remorsefully confess all our own faults. We remorsefully confess all our deviations and obscurations generated by our unrealized view.
Thank you. Confession in the presence of all those gone to bliss. Om. We pray to all those gone to bliss. Throughout the three times. To you, the conquerors, and your retinues. And to all who maintain the commitments of indestructible reality. Please, each of you, attend to us. Having initially generated the mind aspiring to supreme enlightenment, in order to actualize the indestructible reality of the Buddha body, speech, and mind, on the enlightened plane of an accomplished awareness holder, we have adopted numerous secret commitments related to both the meditational deities and our Vajra masters, and we have pledged not to transgress these injunctions to which we are bound. For to do so would lead us to a birth in the hells, driven by our past actions and misfortunes. Nonetheless, swayed by attachment, aversion, delusion, pride, envy, and so forth, we have continued to err. Should we have belittled the Vajra Master in our hearts, the lamp of teaching, and thus allowed our commitments to denigrate? And should we have harbored ill will and mistaken attitudes toward the Vajra companions who share our commitments, for whatever such harm we have thus created, we confess all are degradations of the commitments of the Buddha body. Should we have not clearly visualized the seals of our meditational deity? Should we have not been deficient in our mantra recitations during our ritual service? Should we have failed to carry out the rites through which both ritual service and attainment are fulfilled? Especially with respect to the ritual offerings of the six session yoga accordance with their teachings and the texts. we confess all such degradations of the commitments of Buddhist speech. Should we have degraded the commitments which the Vajra Masters imparted as an esoteric institution of Buddha mind, commitments he orally seated in our hearts through the grace of his loving kindness? And should we have even transgressed our secret name by divulging it carelessly? We confess all such degradations of the commitments of the Buddha mind. We also confess our degradations of the ancillary commitments caused by our failure to realize the essential sameness of phenomena. We confess our degradations of the commitments relating to ritual service and attainment, caused by our failing into the sleep of idleness and apathy. We confess each and every one of our degradations of the commitments of the Buddha body, speech, and mind, caused by our transgressions enacted physically, verbally, and mentally. In the presence of our revered spiritual teachers, we confess our inadequate utensils and resources. In the presence of the assembled meditational deities, we confess our prejudices towards their practices of visualization. In the presence of the four classes of dakinis, we confess our degradations of our commitments and pledges. In the presence of the protectors of the sacred teachings, we confess our tardy torma offerings, whether years or months overdue. In the presence of our parents of the three times, we confess our failure to repay their kindness. In the presence of our spiritual brothers and sisters, we confess our inadequate fervor for upholding the commitments. In the presence of the six classes of sentient beings, we confess the inadequacy of our compassion and altruism. We confess all our contradictions and degradations, those relating to pratimoksha vows, those relating to trainings cultivated by the bodhisattvas, and those relating to commitments upheld by the awareness holders. From now on, we shall not conceal such denegations. And we resolve to guard against any and every infraction. As we confess all of our negative obstructions born of indulging in the three poisons, please purify all of our obstructions. And grant us the supreme and common accomplishment of Buddha body, speech, and mind. The 100-syllable mantra of the Vajrasattva should be recited repeatedly in conjunction with these verses, and thus the confession will be effected. This natural liberation through acts of confessions in the presence of peaceful and wrathful deities, which is a supporting text to the reparation and confession, natural liberation of degradations, is thus presented. Be persevering with regard to this practice, O children of posterity. May this practice be encountered by all those of fortune who have been positive inheritance of past actions. This natural liberation through acts of confession in the presence of peaceful and wrathful deities was extracted from the Tantra of Immaculate Confessions by Padmakara, the preceptor of Odhyana. May the influence of the sublime teaching not be exhausted until all of cyclic existence is emptied. May virtue prevail. Samayama, Rigaya, 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 Gatir, Rigaya, Sabayas, Rigaya, Gatad, Rigaya, a treasure of the karma, Lingpa.
I like that wrap to that chapter. That was good. End to section 7.
I feel like I struggled with reading some of that, actually. I thought it was actually a lot more straightforward than it actually was. Mm-hmm. I got a little confidence in it, and it definitely humbled me a little bit there in some of those pronunciations.
As it tends to do. It tends to throw a wrench in how we look at words. What was something that you can take away from it?
I think that, like, ultimately, I think what I intimately took away from it initially was, like, where was it exactly? Let me find the esoteric, kind of, like, originally driven by our past actions, nonetheless weighed by attachment, aversion, delusion, pride, envy, and so forth, we have continued to err. Should we have belittled the Vajra Masters in our hearts, the lamp of teaching, and thus allowed our commitments to denigrate? And should we have harbored ill will and mistaken attitude towards that? Like, I really appreciate, like, essentially that last chapter, or that last little stanza. It's on Sutra.
Yeah.
Was basically being like, hey, even when I've been a petty bitch about all these little things and like still had ill will in my heart, right, about all these different things, or when I've still failed in all these different ways, again, coming into this cyclic existence of failing, right, and continuing taking ownership of that, of like what it means to still be this perfect being, essentially, right? I like that it's still yelling at incremental processes. Mm-hmm. It still yelled at because we failed to take it incrementally and have it happen right. Mm-hmm. I like that we both talked about it to confessing to all those in view. So like who I think I perceive that as all those in view, like literally who all we can see. And then I perceive the blissful ones, right? Mm-hmm. The ancestors that were fortunate enough to have these teachings and everything like that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to talk about, you know, essentially confessing to these different states of being and these different states of sentiency, right?
Managing the dichotomy and the duality of life.
Well, literally the degradation of it all, right? Mm-hmm. That was the whole point of it, I think. It was just like how all these things, the degradation of these transactions, right? Mm-hmm. I think that it was really just like, again, to be able to take that expression of, and like confession to different, very different ways was really cool.
Yeah, I agree. I liked the balance that we continue to see, because or like within, I think since specifically the peaceful and wrathful deities came into the picture, things have definitely been a little bit more balanced in the sense of what you view, right? And in the sense you're confessing and you're facing your humanness with everything. With the peaceful and the wrathful deities, and you're also, there was one point where it was like, do not blame others mm-hmm. for it, and as you like, you know, like have compassion for these other people as well. And it just, you know, we always circle back to having compassion and hosting compassion for others and yourself. And I think that that was probably my biggest takeaway and my biggest green flag.
Well, and again, how to have compassion towards the essentially people of bad actors, right?
Yeah. You know,
that's such an existential question, right? And it's hard to do. What is the actual compassionate thing to do in those situations when confronting, you know, people who do have harm and intention and stuff like that? They still play a place in this existence, whether we like it or not, and it's still have to accept that and that mm-hmm. responsibility, and that can be really difficult.
Absolutely.
No. It was definitely fun. We're definitely starting to make some progress. I can see where that bookmark is. We're getting closer and closer to that halfway point. So, I know. 40% probably.
3/4 of the way through. Yeah.
About 40%.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking pretty good. Sounding pretty good. Do you have any last thoughts before I close this out?
I think then probably the last thoughts that I would have with it is taking the time and place to stop. And actually admit all of your faults is really important in all the ways that you have constructed your reality into the things that you have believed in. That doesn't have to mean when you're experiencing that kind of ego death and taking that kind of accountability within yourself. It doesn't mean you have to lose yourself in the nihilism like you talked about.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of compassion in there, and you're still a sentient being that deserves compassion. And I think figuring out how to disassemble yourself, right, and for all your denigrations, right, as we like to call here, literally on the descent, right, mm-hmm. if you're able to have that level of deconstruction and take yourself apart and admit that it isn't something that is, it, you know, while we might be in theory eternal in some cosmic sense, right, everything inside of you, all these other things are just different constructs that we hold on to, right? And they're all subjective. They're really subjective, actually. There's some hard physical realities, but there's really subjective in how they're applied and how they are presented, right? Mm-hmm. And when I talk about hard physical realities, I talk about, like, the fact that gravity exists.
Gravity constantly pulls you in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that gravity is always exerting force on us, right? And that, like, we've grown with that. But being able to take that stop and be able to be like, all these things that humans have been put into a box, mm-hmm. to be able to understand, to grow, to conquer, right? Mm-hmm. To divorce ourselves from everything else, to get lost in. It's taking that same kind of approach and figuring out what is the real relationship we have with these things, and not to get lost in the nihilism and conquering of it, mm-hmm. but the healthy relationship with it and love it and nurture it, right? And I think that's kind of my final thoughts with it.
I like that. I like that little tie-up. Just finding the healthy in it. And Traveler, we leave you today. As we leave you today, I hope that you travel these paths and are able to hold a moment of authenticity for yourself, and along with compassion. Imagine you've got authenticity in your left hand and you have compassion in your right hand. In order to be able to be true to yourself and to true to those around you, you have to bring both of those forward and put them together and bring them to your heart. Ground yourself in your surroundings. Fall into who you have around you and what you have that gives you the space to be true to yourself and to true to others. Find your moments where you're seeking that freedom, that the absolvement of whatever weighs you down. Have compassion for yourself for that. Show compassion in life. And Traveler, I hope that you find a moment of peace while you sit back and enjoy some stew or a sandwich or a beer or mead or wine, whatever your poison may be. I hope you allow that for yourself. You are loved. You are worthy. And we thank you for joining us on this path as we descend into ourselves and life.
Once more.